showdown of the top two teams in the NBA's Eastern Conference. And, John, Pistons made a statement.
Yes, they did. A very emphatic statement.
Yeah, not bad for a nice little basketball team. Detroit won by 30 points. It was their largest margin of victory of the season. This one meant a little more, and they played accordingly. They outworked the Knicks. Look at the battle on the boards. Look at the blocks and the steals and the hustle stats. Look at what our star player did compared to their star player. Cade Cunningham was lethal. He was in control. He involved his teammates. Jalen Brunson finished with the same number of assists as John and I did.
Mm-hmm.
Zero. He was hounded all night by Asar Thompson. And as soon as you think you can catch your breath and Asar leaves the game, in comes Ron Holland to pressure the basketball. They played intense from the jump, and they didn't let their foot off the gas. And they actually stepped on the gas in the fourth quarter to tack on a few extra points, just so there's no doubt who the best team in the East is. John, that's the statement they made.
Well,
they're the beast in the East. The best team in the East is the Pistons.
And hats off to JB and the players as well. I'm sure the conversation at the end of the third quarter going into the fourth was, hey, we've been here before. Remember this in the playoffs last year where we had these leads going into the fourth and then they evaporated and you eventually lose. Or you need late game heroics. Let's eliminate that possibility. And quite honestly, at halftime, they're up 10.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't even feel like it was that close.
No.
They just simply controlled it from start to finish.
And think about it. Pistons were playing on a back-to-back without...
Yep.
Jalen Duren, Tobias Harris, and Caris LeVert. Didn't look like they were shorthanded. Didn't look like they had some tired legs. It looked like they had a point to prove. And I think everybody should be paying attention to what they did last night. We called it the unofficial kickoff, tip-off of NBA season, of basketball season. Yeah, man, you should be paying attention to these Pistons. Because they are a lot of fun, they play hard, and they win.
And they've only lost that one back-to-back. And that was game four, and it was against Cleveland.
Yeah, most NBA teams lose the back-to-back. The Pistons are 6-1
mm-hmm.
on the second leg of a back-to-back. They don't take nights off. They're worthy of your time. If you're some of these fans who have been turned off by the NBA, I get it. I'm not going to fight you on it. But the Pistons play a different brand of basketball. It is not what you see night in and night out in the NBA.
How much stock do you put into, obviously, young teams learning throughout the course of the season? They obviously learned a lot last year. And in January, hey, they flipped the switch and all of a sudden become a playoff team. But I just mentioned that back-to-back that they lost to Cleveland. And we had talked about it briefly because it was in the middle of football season.
Yeah.
But it was lethargic. They didn't look like, and we had talked about, hey, this is a young team. Yeah, they're aggressive and their style of defense. They're a fast-paced team. How much of that moment do you think that they have learned from and been able to utilize in some of these other back-to-backs?
They've certainly learned a lot of lessons in a short amount of time.
The numbers say it. I just don't know if you're looking at one, quote-unquote, data point, and how much can that translate to everything else that you've seen throughout the course of the year, or was that just simply a one-off? Right now, it's a one-off.
Yeah, I mean, that's the anomaly. They show up every night. And look, and if the Knicks didn't take it seriously, shame on them.
Well, I don't know how they couldn't take it seriously.
Well, it's the postseason, and we didn't have Josh Hart, and we're on the road. Dude, that's a measuring stick moment. There are a few games that stand out more than others in the NBA regular season. When you get two teams at the top of a conference going, shot for shot, toe-to-toe, and your will gets broken the way the Knicks' will was broken in that game, yeah, man, like, if you have any pride, you got to fight through it. And they didn't want to outwork the Pistons. You would not outwork that team last night.
No, and okay, when you win that game, like we heard from JB, who says, it's one of 82 games.
Yeah.
That's the response you can have after you've just dominated your opponent in that game. And you move on.
Mm-hmm.
But what was at stake in that game? Certainly, it's not definitive of what will happen in the postseason.
No.
It does give you maybe an indication. But for the Pistons... And the Knicks, like, just hanging around. The Knicks losing that game, they lost a spot. The Celtics jumped them.
Yep.
They're at 3.5 behind the Pistons, and the Pistons directly had a chance to create a little bit more distance between them and somebody else that's in contention for the Eastern Conference.
So, look, Piston fans, if you're at that game, crowd was into it. It was a hell of a game to go to. If you were watching, if you're starting to pay attention, we want to hear from you. 248-539-9797. John, you had that question.
Yeah, I mean, now that the Lions season is over and we don't have a dog in the fight, we also don't have one in the college football playoffs. Football season locally has ended. Mm-hmm. Is this the unofficial start to your basketball season?
Yeah, are you in on basketball? And this could be Pistons, but it could also be Spartans and Wolverines, who are both playing phenomenal too.
Yeah, because there's a lot of really good basketball. If you haven't been paying attention and you're just jumping in right now,
cool.
Hey, Michigan, number one in the, was it the AP poll?
Undefeated.
And Michigan State, number nine in the AP poll, coming off a good win last night against USC.
Yep.
And now all of a sudden the Pistons, hey, they are starting to create some distance between them and some of the other teams in the Eastern Conference. They are currently in first place.
Yeah, we're going to be talking more about the Pistons. We want to know that you guys are on board. 248-539-9797. Have you guys flipped that switch? Are you in basketball mode now? Look, Cade right now is the best player in the Eastern Conference. And I believe only Luka and SGA have better odds to win the MVP.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Pistons are the number one team in the Eastern Conference, led by the best player in the Eastern Conference. And it's not like they're a one-man show. They come at you in waves. They're deep. They defend. They outwork you. Points in the paint. Blocks. Steals. Offensive boards. Duncan Robinson grabbed an offensive board last night. I'm like, he's getting to the glass. Forget about it.
Yeah.
Game over. And I thought the second unit, Ivy playing with Danis Jenkins, feeding off one another. Ivy playing more off ball, a shooter, a scorer, a problem. They are a deeper basketball team than they were a year ago. John, if Isaiah Stewart plays, I think they beat the Knicks in the playoffs last year. I really do. And having that experience under their belt, and clearly it's powered them forward into this year. Yeah, man. Look, Tatum could come back and make things squirrely in the East, but the Pistons are the best team today in the Eastern Conference.
And I'm grateful for the Pistons for putting this game away early so that we could flip over, because they were on Peacock, and it does take a little effort to flip back to regular TV on FS1 to watch Michigan State play.
Yeah.
And so Michigan State was, I think the tip-off was like at 8:30.
Yes.
So the Pistons had this one in the bag. You get a chance to tip over, you know, look over there. And then I was also obviously looking at the FCS championship that was on last night, Montana State and Illinois State. So I'm still going to dip my toe in the football world.
Was that an OT game, by the way?
Oh yeah, it was OT. It was. There were some great moments in that game, and has watched it, but yeah, it went into OT, and it was a blocked field goal, and then it was, or a blocked extra point, and then it was the field goal to win it in OT. It was awesome.
Well, let's start getting to people on the phones. 248-539-9797. Got a team we can talk about on the hardwood. Paul in New Baltimore, you're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hey, you kind of took my thunder a little bit there, but yeah, they're deep. I mean, the Pistons, if you looked at it, they're not 7-8 guys deep. They're, you know, potentially 10-11 guys deep, and they're playing ball on both ends of the court. You're watching their 3-point percentage start to go up. Yeah. I would say over the past couple weeks, which is a dangerous thing, because they don't have to shoot a three if they keep playing defense the way they are. They can continue to kind of drive the basket, control the tempo of the game. I mean, Cade's playing amazing. And when you're missing two starters and, you know, arguably potentially your sixth man, and you're still able to put a whooping on New York the way that you did, I mean, it's a lot of fun to watch. Haven't gotten to see it in a very long time. And, you know, Stu, the way he's been playing defensively, it's one of those things where when time comes and Durant's back, you could have two bigs playing in the middle of the court, and you're going to have to force people to shoot from the outside. And I think it's going to be a great thing for us.
I think you're spot on. And Stewart even gets switched sometimes out into space, and he did a decent job when he's got switched onto Brunson a little bit. Think about what the Pistons have set up with this depth, where you can say Durant and Stu could play the entire game with one of them on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Thompson and Holland, you could play the entire game with one of them on the floor. When Cade leaves, they've gotten such a leap from Sasser and Danis Jenkins and Jaden Ivey that there's not really a big drop-off. I mean, there's a drop-off from Cade, but there's not a drop-off. Like, there's not a pocket of the game where the other team has a chance to make up ground or breathe or catch their breath.
Right, and you know, there's different levels of defense. In regards to, you know, it's different for Asar Thompson to play defense than it is Cade. But when Cade has a block against McBride at the rim,
yep,
like, you know, everyone is involved. You're not just, hey, these are our defensive specialists. Everyone is playing on both ends of the floor.
Phone calls, texts, a lot to talk about with the Pistons. Love it. It's 97.1.